I'm Melissa Idris, and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today, Yap Yen Fang. She is the founder and CEO of Beauty & Co., which is a beauty and wellness co-working space. Yen, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's a pleasure to have you. I really am curious about the concept of a co-working space for beauty and wellness. You know, when I think about co-working spaces, I think about remote workers, I think about freelancers, the tech world, maybe kind of corporate or something digital, entrepreneurs. How does a co-working space concept work for the beauty industry? Can you tell me more?
Hi, everyone. So I think I agree with you, Melissa. Actually, I got inspiration from actually the office co-working space. I think quite many years ago, I think about 2016, I went to US, San Francisco, and I get to know about WeWork, right? Because they are doing so well at that time. And I was thinking, how can I modernize my traditional beauty business, right? It's like we are so traditional. We are paying rentals and we need to hire people and less people wants to be in this industry because of the long hours, because of the skills that you need to learn. So I'm just thinking, if the new business model where they have this shared business resources, how can my business also have shared business resources? So then I think of, okay, actually a good location is very important, and usually good location equals to expensive rental, right? And then, you know, when you go to a beauty center, it's all about the ambience. So we invest heavily in terms of the environment and renovation. And the third thing that we actually invest heavily is machineries. Okay, so like technologies, it is millions of dollars actually we invested. 4 million ringgit just on technologies. And we know technologies will evolve very fast. So if our business model cannot give us the ROI in time, maybe 2 years later, 3 years later, this technology is not relevant anymore. So that is why I was thinking, yeah, actually the shared business model kind of business makes sense for beauty industry.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that to enter the beauty industry, the overheads are really high. You have to pay a lot of money. You need capital. You need resources. Can you give me a sense of what the beauty industry is like? Because I know you have a lot of experience in this industry. What is the beauty services industry like in Malaysia? Is it very fragmented, or are there a lot of big players and they kind of dominate the market?
So I think, yeah, I am actually 20 over years in the beauty industry. I basically grew with the industry, okay? So I think I was being exposed to beauty at a very young age. You know, as young as 10 years old, my mom is a hairdresser, okay? So 30 years ago, it's all about just hair, you know? Beauty is going to hair salon, right? So like right now, you can see there's so much of beauty center, spa center, aesthetic centers in the market right now. So I would think in Malaysia, there are, of course, quite a number of big players, beauty chain, aesthetic players, but there are also a lot of small beauty salons everywhere. So if you go to any business center, you always see there's some beauty center on the ground floor, some beauty center on the first floor. So I think maybe I did a survey in Klang Valley itself, there will be more than 10,000 beauty salons. Yeah. Wow. And there will be at least, you know, more than 50,000 beautician in the market right now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the concept of Beauty & Co. is to kind of provide a space where beauticians, aestheticians can come together and share the cost of it, right? So you're not actually forking out that capital at the start of your business, which may prevent you from actually, you know, achieving any kind of success. Who is it that you're targeting to bring together in your co-working space?
So, frankly, because I am in the business for so many years, I actually felt that I need to level up the industry. You know, sometimes there is quite a number of negativity in the industry where there's a lot of people who are hard selling, there's a lot of shaming in this industry, price war, inferior machine that people overpromise it and never deliver results. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of beautician actually wants to deliver good results to their client, but there is no one place or a platform for them to do so, right? And for a single beautician, for them to invest so heavily in this capital, it doesn't make sense at all. So for me, I wanted to build this space. I wanted to level up the beauty industry where we actually set a new standard for people when it comes to experience, right? The customer service should be good. We should be selling with love instead of hard selling. We should be using the top-notch FDA-approved technology instead of all this inferior machine that, questionable when it comes to safety, questionable when it comes to efficacy. So for me, I want to target beautician who actually wants to serve their client and give good efficacy.
I'm so glad that you brought up some of the not unspoken or kind of dirty secrets in the beauty industry. I myself have experienced, unfortunately, the very aggressive sales tactic, hard selling. You mentioned hard selling. Hard selling, definitely, you kind of get pushed into buying a product or a package that you're not quite sure you need. But also, there's another part is the body shaming sometimes that happens in this industry, where you walk in and then you actually feel worse when you walk out because you get kind of
Oh
body
my
shamed
God.
into buying. How do you intend to? I think some of these things have given the beauty services industry a bad name, and I hear you say selling with love, and I quite I, that resonates. How does that work? What is this ethos that you are trying to put out there?
So I think that is the industry pain, right? I tell you, I was being exposed to beauty at a very young age, as young as 10 years old. I remember every time my mom's client who walked in and do wash their hair, blow their hair, and they always leave the center feeling better. It's never feeling worse, right? But like what you say, you have experience, and unfortunately, almost 8 out of 10, when I ask anybody, right, that do they have a bad experience in the beauty industry, it almost always they say yes, which is very painful for me, right? So to me, it's like, how can a person go to a self-care center and come out feeling worse? Like the beauty industry has lost the essence of the beauty, right? The self-care. So like you say, every client who go into the center should always feel better instead of worse. So whether it's hard selling, whether it's body shaming, whether it's overpromising and not able to see any results after you use so much of spend so much of money and not able to see the results, that is really bad, right? So for me, how can we change this? Number one is setting a new standards, right? If you want to be in the beauty industry, there should be a new standards. We want to set the new standard. Number two, we want to educate, not only the customers, but also the beautician, what should be expected if you are a beautician, right? I think, the old times, beautician, after they graduate from form five, not very highly educated, they go and learn this skill. But nowadays, the expectation as a beautician is different. You need to have good product knowledge. You need to catch up with the technology. You need to know how to serve your client well. So I think all this needs to be done, but it's not overnight. But a lot of work to be done. Set good standards. Set keep continuous education to the public. Hopefully, one day, everybody who is in this industry will be proud to say, we are in an industry that we really sell with love.
I understand that sometimes with particularly in business that's highly competitive, you do need to kind of get ahead of your competitor, right? So maybe that's the reason why sometimes they are they hard sell, they're aggressive and maybe a little bit cutthroat. I do want to ask you though, when you bring all these beauticians together under one roof, do they see themselves as competitors? How do you work side by side with a comp your competition? How does that work?
I think it's a mindset. It's the abundance mindset. And we must always remember, as a beautician, we only have one pair of hands, right? We can only serve four clients, five clients, or even maximum six clients a day, right? Means in a month, you can only serve like 70, 80 clients in a month, right? So why do you want to keep competing in each other? Because you are the limited resources. The client is not the limited resources. You are the limited resources. So there's no need of competing because there is abundance in the market. And I can only tell you, every year, more and more people are aware of self-care and they want to take care of themselves. The market grow at least double digit every year. So if you are a good beautician, you will be fully booked, right? You don't need to compete with other people. So when we come to this platform and community, I think the thing that I love seeing is they actually want to collaborate, right? Sometimes I'm not able because sometimes I'm on leave. You know, my client needs to do her facial. Can my colleague actually help out? Because we as beautician, we are the limited resource.
Okay, so a community as opposed to competition.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this conversation. Still so much to cover about the evolving beauty industry, particularly in Malaysia. We will be back with more on The Future's Female. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris and I'm speaking to Yap Yen Fang. She is the founder and CEO of Beauty & Co, which is Malaysia's first beauty co-working space. I mentioned just before the break about the evolution of the beauty industry. Now, I do think that the beauty industry has evolved leaps and bounds, particularly in the past few years. There's so much body positivity now, there's the anti-diet movements, there's recognition of the harms of the anti-fat bias. All, I think, particularly young people also consistently pushing back against this idea that thin, young, fair, able-bodied women are the epitome of beauty. Maybe you can tell me about what you have observed. Are you seeing this incorporated in the evolution of the beauty industry? And what does that mean for people like yourselves and for Beauty and Co?
I think, yeah, I feel in the beauty, we actually are sometimes being misjudged as well, right? Because people will tell you that, oh, I want to have these big eyes, perky nose, full lips. And if you come to our clinic, you will realize we don't have much people who looks like a doll. Even I think, even me myself, I'm 20 over years in the industry, I don't think I look like a doll because I believe that everyone is beautiful. Okay? And I believe that we are here to bring the best out from you, right? So we want you to look better, but we want you to look you. Right, so I think sometimes there's a lot of this misconception of I need to have these big eyes, I need to be have a very full lips to look beautiful. To me, now if you see, there's a lot of people who look alike.
Yes.
It's not unique anymore.
Especially on social media, it's kind of all homogenous. Everyone has one look. And there is this obsession with kind of physical perfection, right? That that often we do see in social media. It's very harmful for women, particularly young women. How do we go about breaking those really toxic beauty standards? And I say this knowing that beauty can also be a form of self-expression, and you know, wellness and beauty services can be a form of self-care. So there is a balance between wanting to be inclusive and diverse and authentic to yourself, but also not upholding those really impossible beauty myths that we have had to grow up with. We've spent years being slaves to.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot to do with being authentic, and also it's a journey of self-acceptance. Frankly, I think at a younger age, when I'm in my 20s, I am also like constantly dieting and things like that, right? Like I am not good enough kind of mentality, that even though I'm not fat, I still think I can be slimmer kind of things. I think it's a journey of self-acceptance. I think at the age of 40, after the age of 40, I think the self-acceptance become better. You know who you are better. You accept yourself better. So I think being authentic, I think, again, you know, the social media sometimes can be unrealistic, you know, especially if you look at people who just gave birth. After 1 month, they just bounce back. I always tell, don't post things like this. It sets unrealistic expectation to people. You know, of course, there are people who are born to be a bit more petite,
and we are different, they might be.
Yeah, so everybody is different. Frankly, it took me almost a year to feel back like I'm myself, you know, after giving birth. So we need to set realistic expectation, because when you're posting all this unrealistic thing, you are setting unrealistic goals for a young mom, and it's very depressing for them, because they feel that, why people can bounce back in a month and I am 6 months and I still not bounce back, right?
Do you think that is the truth? Yeah. Do you think this is a conversation that is being had within the beauty services industry, that people are now more aware or more supportive about the different body types, different, you know, the differences in the way we look, and celebrating all those differences?
I would say it's moving towards that, but still there are many companies who are still setting, you know, unrealistic expectation. And like I say, still a lot of education to be done. You know, I'm glad there is more awareness now. There's more awareness now, but I think still there's a lot of rooms to improve.
Well, that's good. At least, you know, we're making some progress for the next generation. When coming back to Beauty & Co, I know you started it in 2018. That means that you have had to operate during the pandemic. How do you see COVID and all the kind of public health concerns affect and change the beauty industry? Because now we're a bit more careful in our direct contact.
The lucky thing about a beauty industry is we are actually a very hygiene industry, right? Like even before the COVID, we always do sanitization, we always clean up the space. So I think that hygiene is always in our kind of business. And if you see the whole pandemic, you don't see cluster in beauty salon. Because usually we are one-to-one and in a room, it's not really a crowded place or things like that. And our treatments are always by appointment and things like that. So I would think for beauty industry, of course, we struggle a lot because we are actually last one to be able to operate. But also because of pandemic, the co-working space concept works better. The demand are better. Because a lot of small beauty salons closed down because they are not able to pay for the rental, and they came to our space.
Right. Well, you mentioned at the start of our conversation that there's that talent and staffing, you know, it's a very resource heavy industry, right? So you really need manpower. We only have two hands. So are you seeing a lot more people being interested to enter the beauty services industry, but enter at with awareness and with education? You mentioned training a little bit earlier. Is it difficult to persuade particularly young people to become beauticians or aestheticians?
So frankly speaking, it become more difficult, but I think if we modernize this beauty, it will be quite an attractive position.
So what do you mean when you say modernizing? what does that mean?
So the old times when the beautician they join in, usually you see beautician they start their career at a very young age, right? Like 18 years old. And by the time they become skillful 10 years later, they are 28 years old. And they actually wanted to get married, have kids, but it's long working hours. So a lot of times it's very sad that a lot of beautician at the late 20s, early 30s, they actually quit the industry. So it means the career span for this beautician are very short, right? By the time they are 30, maybe they are thinking to get out from this industry already. So right now, because of the co-working space concept, we have flexible hours, right? Let's say right now, by the time you want to get married, you want to have kids, you can chill a little bit. You work one or two clients only. Instead of taking six clients in a day, you take two clients in a day. Then you can spend your time with your kids. When your kids are in school, you might want to work a little bit more. Then we actually able to expand the career, right? And frankly, this industry is also quite a lucrative industry, right? People are willing to spend money on beauty. And this is also an industry that is benefits to our personal life because we look better as we age. We actually look better than our peers, you know, because of the benefits of able to try the treatment, use the latest technology. So I think if we are able to make people to earn a good income and also flexible hour and also the benefits of looking younger and be healthier, I think that we will be able to attract more talent.
So how do you get the word out there? Because again, I think many people are familiar with the co-working space, the office environment co-working space. How do you get the word out there that there is a beauty co-working space, and not just for the beauticians, but also to clients who may be for the first time entering a space that doesn't feel like the typical salon or parlor?
I think for a client point of view, they don't really feel it because they walk in, they still feel it doesn't feel like a co-working space. But for beautician, it's a lot of education. I think when we first launched it, people has no idea what a co-working space is, right? So it takes us quite some time to educate it. So even after they know what a co-working space is, it also takes time for them. Will this work? You know, then they want to see. They want to see role models who actually earn good income and survive in this platform. So I think, but fortunately, after 2 years of running this co-working space, we have a lot of successful role model out there. And frankly, we are also getting quite a good response right now.
Well, that's really wonderful. So what is next for Beauty & Go? And for you personally, I mean, now that we have survived this pandemic for the past 2 years, what are the plans for you going forward? I know you feel very passionately about improving or contributing to the beauty services industry. What is your vision? What are your plans?
So for me, I think the next 5 years, I hope that we can go IPO. One of the reasons why I have this as our goal is also because I want the business to be able to sustain. I have no intention to exit because in today's technology, I think we can live up to 120 years old. So I think I will be still able to work for many more years. But I would think the beauty industry, number one, definitely I wanted to level up the standard. Number two, I hope that we can able to reach our IPO goal so that with more resources, we can make more impact. And of course, definitely other than beauty, I am also venturing into wellness and anti-aging. And frankly, I am a Virgo. I am a person who plans so much ahead of time. I even tell you, like, my end of life project will be going into palliative care and die with dignity. So that is something that I think as a final project in my life, that is something I want to do.
You've got it all planned out.
Yeah.
Yen, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been such a pleasure. I appreciate your time.
That was my conversation with Yep Yen Feng. She is the founder and CEO of Beauty & Co, which is a beauty and wellness co-working space. I'm Lissa Idris, and I will be back with you same time next week for another episode of The Futures Female. Till then, take care. Goodbye, folks.